So good evening, everyone. So you thought we were finished last week with the Field Guide to the Bodhisattva series. Those of you, let's see, who was not here at all over the last 5 weeks? I thought you were here once.
Monday.
Oh, okay, no, on Wednesdays. And this is
Tristan's
first night on... And
Tyler.
And Tyler's first Wednesday?
Actually, yeah.
Yeah, first time on Wednesday. So for the last 5 weeks, we did a series called A Field Guide to the Bodhisattvas, and we covered four of the most well-known bodhisattvas in our tradition, plus one less well-known last week. For those of you who were here last week, we did the bodhisattva called Never Despising, a bodhisattva for our times. But I couldn't resist adding one more week, one more character to our field guide. But this time it's not a bodhisattva. It's a myoho. Myoho means... It's often called Wisdom King, but the character is, that's not the character for wisdom, that's the character for brightness, or it's the Myo of Myoshin, my Dharma name. And it consists, that's a little sun and that's a moon. So the sun and the moon, bright, illuminating. So sometimes he's called, wisdom, that's king, so illuminating king or wisdom king. And these characters are fierce guardian figures, typically. And the one I want to talk about is called Fudo Myoho. There's not a whole lot written about him, but you see images of him all over Japan. Anyone who's been to Japan has, I'm sure, encountered this image. There he is. His name in Sanskrit is Akalanata, which means immovable protector. They're protectors of the Dharma. And in Chinese and Japanese, just going back, it becomes, Japanese anyway, it's Fudo Myoho, and this is not moving. Unmoving or immovable. Luminous King. And that's what he looks like. He has a fierce, scowling face, often with one eye squinted closed, and I couldn't... Sometimes he has both eyes wide open, and sometimes one eye squinted closed, and I could not find any explanation for that. So I can't help you with that. But he has usually one fang pointing up and one fang pointing down. He often sits or stands, not in this picture, but he often sits or stands on a sort of craggy rock. A little bit you can tell in that picture. And the rock symbolizes his steadfastness, right? Firmness. And sometimes the crag overlooks rough waves of the sea, sort of like one of the images we saw of Avalokiteshvara. And sometimes he has two young attendants. You can kind of see them there. They're usually pictured as young boys. But he's almost always surrounded by a halo of flames. And these are not a depiction of some hell realm, but it's more the sort of elemental energy of fire in burning through our delusions. He carries a sword in one hand, like Manjushri Bodhisattva. Remember we saw Manjushri carries a sword to cut through delusion, and a rope in the other hand it's symbolizing restraint. I mean, it could be seen as kind of, you know, as a kind of an aggressive tying up, but But really, it's another way that I read it, interpreted, which I liked, was the sense of restraint, which we do have to. I mean, we have very strong habit patterns, don't we? We have strong desires. And sometimes, in order to not cause harm with our pernicious habit patterns, we have to exercise restraint. Right? And so that's the symbology there. There he is again. The basin with the little ladles in front of him is a basin where people will wash their hands and then take a sip of water and wash the mouth as a sort of cleansing before making an offering. And there he is again. In Japan, Fudo Myoho is often called sort of more familiarly, Fudo-son, Fudo, S-O-N, which means something like Lord Fudo. It's not like son. For those of you who've been to Japan, you know, you'll say Tanaka-san, as Mr. Tanaka or Ms. Tanaka. It's not gendered, but it serves, the son serves that purpose. So this is son, which means like Lord Fudo, Fudo son, which I used to think when I first heard it was quite funny because it sounded like Fudo san, which means real estate. Which means, same characters, oh, I took the characters, unmoving property. Right, is real estate. It was some time, actually, before I was just starting Zen practice at the time. And I would see these Fudos around, but I didn't, they really weren't connected to Zen practice. It took me some time to realize that this unmoving characteristic was not a kind of rigid immobility, but a dynamic stillness or a readiness in a world aflame, a readiness and an acute attention ready to respond, ready to take action, ready to fiercely oppose, ready to cut through and see the truth. So this is a different energy than any of the bodhisattvas we've encountered. This fierce demeanor has made Fudo-san attractive to the Japanese yakuza, and it's that is the most elaborate and artistic, quite actually beautifully rendered tattoo. That particular one. So the Yakuza are Japanese gangsters. And so he's been a bit adopted. The imagery has been adopted by them. You can't go into a Japanese public bath looking like that. But he's most closely associated with esoteric Buddhism or Vajrayana Buddhism, which, most Westerners, when they think of Japanese Buddhism, think of Zen. But Vajrayana Buddhism preceded Zen in Japan by about 5 centuries, came much earlier. It was brought from China in the early 9th century by a man named Kukai, which characters of his name are emptiness and ocean. But he was also fondly known as Kobo Daishi, a great teacher. And he established what's called Shingon Buddhism. Shingon means true word. It means mantra, or the esoteric Buddhist tradition in Japan. And in that tradition, Fudo is one of the five great wisdom kings. He's the central one there. And he appears in what's called the womb realm mandala. You can't tell, but that's him right there. And in the center of this womb realm mandala is Vairochana Buddha, who is the cosmic Buddha. And Fudo is central to the most important ritual in Shingon Buddhism, which is called the fire ritual, or Goma ritual, which has its roots way back in the pre-Buddhist Vedic worship of Agni, the fire god, in India. And there's a picture. You can see this ritual if you go to Mount Koya. Who's been there? Yeah. Mount Koya is where Kobo Daishi founded his first monastery. It's a mountain plateau with really hundreds, or it was hundreds of temples there. Many of them take in guests, and some of them will let you observe the Goma ceremony. And I just want to read a little. These make Zen ceremonies seem really simple. A rigorous Goma, that's the fire ceremony, practice known as the 8,000 stick Goma, practiced regularly today, is a secret ritual with Fudo as the central deity. For the 21 days of the ritual, the practitioner eats a limited vegetarian diet, performing the Fudo Goma three times daily. During this ritual, Fudo's mantra of liberating compassion is recited 1,080,000 times. This number, a multiple of the 108 delusions and also the 108 beads of the Buddhist rosary, is referred to as the 1,000,000. On the last night and following day, the practitioner fasts and burns 8,000 sticks of offering wood. These represent the innumerable delusions of each of the eight consciousnesses being transformed in the flames of wisdom. So it's pretty dramatic, really, to be there. You know, just you sit very, you can sit quite close to this. Here's another little section. The practice of Fudo and the subsequent five stages of Goma take place in one session at the fire ritual altar, a square wooden platform upon which rests a round hearth. The altar, the opening or mouth of the hearth, and the hearth itself symbolize the equality of self and Buddha in body, speech, and mind, respectively. The altar holds many implements and offerings, all with particular symbolic meanings. As the offerings, sticks of wood, oil, grain, and other substances are put into the flames within the hearth, the practitioner visualizes delusions entering the Buddha's wisdom flame, where they immediately reveal their essential nature as the fuel of wisdom. So it's very dramatic and full of symbolism, these practices. And when we went to Japan with a Sangha group last time, one of the women had wanted to come. Her husband was very ill, and he died just like the day or two before we were there, and so we wrote his name on a stick and offered it. You could write, the sticks are about this long, about this wide. So this is a different flavor of practice, this very old, very ancient Vajrayana Buddhism. It's not one we typically associate with Japan, but Mount Koya, where this was just the center of this practice, is quite a beautiful and ancient place. And I got out my little book of... You go to different parts of Japan, you can find these little books of folk tales. So I would get one wherever I went. Because they're written, some of them in dialect, so you can learn the dialect, the regional dialect as you go. And there's one here, a section called the Four Fudos of Mount Koya. And, years ago, I translated this little book. So the one story of one of the Fudo, there they are. Remember we talked about Jizo Bodhisattva? Mm-hmm. So one of them, and if I go next time I'll try and find him if he still exists, is a Jizo Fudo, with the face of Jizo and the body of Fudo. And for those of you who were here when we talked about Jizo, he has a very young, like monk's face. And this turns on wordplay. When the order was made, it was written in phonetic script that made face small, body large sound like face Jizo, body Fudo. It's punning. So the sculptor made a Fudo with a Jizo face. And the next Fudo story is when Kobo Daishi went to China. So this is, you know, 8th century? So it was pretty hazardous trip. There was a terrible storm. And so he prayed to Fudo. And the ship had sprung a leak, and it was foundering, and then the leak was plugged, and afterwards he found that it was an abalone stuck on the hole, and the abalone had an image of Jizo, of Fudo. And so this abalone was passed on from generation to generation with the image of Fudo. This is the kind of lore that surrounds all these characters. So that's just a little, those are just some little examples. I won't go on. But in Japan, Fudo is also associated with a sect of mountain ascetics who do rigorous mountain practices. And it's called Shugendo. And it's a mixture of Buddhist, Shinto, and Taoist practices all mixed together. So you see images of Fudo high up in the mountains in remote mountain shrines, particularly beside waterfalls, at sites where a practice called Mizugyo is done. And Mizu means water practice, where you stand under a waterfall. Sometimes the men just wear a little white loincloth. Women typically wear a light white kimono, and you chant the Heart Sutra really, really loud and really, really hard to concentrate, to generate heat so that you can stand under the waterfall. And then you chant prayers to Fudo as well. And so that's what they're doing here. You can see people in the pool. They're not right under the waterfall. Michael got to do this once. On a university field trip. And they're wearing a different kind of clothing, little headpieces. And this is a group of people, residents of Fukushima Prefecture after the 2011 earthquake, tsunami, and nuclear disaster, praying for recovery. And you can't really see, but up there in just to the left of the waterfall is an image of Fudo. So what is this fiery power that Fudo-san represents is what I just would like to put out to you as a question. How can it support our practice? The American Zen poet Gary Snyder wrote a wonderful essay on Dogen's Mountains and Waters Sutra that we've looked at other times. And he calls Kannon, the Bodhisattva of Compassion, and Fudo Buddha work partners. The yin and yang of waters and mountains, flowing in firmness, compassion and wisdom. We all contain the elements of earth, water, fire, and air, just as we all contain the capacities of all these bodhisattvas that we've been talking about, and of this immovable, fiery protector of the Dharma. Sometimes we need to draw on deep compassion and kindness. Sometimes we need to draw on firm determination and sometimes restraint. Sometimes we have to summon the fortitude to say to our impulsive, greedy selves, just don't do it. Just don't say it. Stop and breathe. Stop and look into your delusion. And this is where this fiery energy of Fudo can help us burn through the sort of dullness and bleakness of our depression or purify our anger. If we can just be present with that energy, the self-focus of the anger can burn off and the anger is transformed into wisdom. Oh, that's the Yamabushi, the guys who climb in the mountains and do all those ascetic practices. Oops. That was good. Ah, this is the one. Here's a woodblock print, ukiyo-e, from 1867, showing Fudo threatening a young priest named Yuten Shami. Who, the story goes, is a terrible student and would not learn the sutras. But after dreaming of Fudo one night, he smartened up. But we don't need to turn Fudo into a kind of comic macho mascot or bully. We have to be a little careful about that, I think. Because wisdom and compassion are, and I'm sure you've heard, many of you have heard me say this before, are the two wings of our practice. And without both in balance, we really can't fly. So, this is, yeah. Just a short talk tonight to share this character with you. And I've got some more pictures and some really great pictures in a couple of books in the back you can look at. But I thought we would get into small groups like we have been doing each night in this series. And I didn't count, but groups of three, and if there's one group of four, that's okay too. And I would just like you to consider what types of life situations do you think this Fudo would be a good ally to have? When might you call on him? When might you call on that energy that kind of energy that he represents. Okay. So group up into groups of threes, and each of you will just have a couple of minutes to take the floor and speak to that question. Great. Yeah, clump up as, with the three people as close as you can. And then here's a group of two over here, needs one more. Yeah. Okay. Or, okay, do we have two people who are, one group that's only two? Okay, why don't you each join one of the other groups then? So we have two groups of four. Okay. So please introduce yourselves to your group mates. Okay. So in a minute, I'm going to ring a bell to get you started, and each person can have 2 or 3 minutes. I'll just ring and just speak to what this Fudo Myo might be for you as an ally, like the Bodhisattvas, or any other reflections you'd like to share that come up for you around around this image. And when I ring the bell, then the second person can go. And if the groups of four just keep going after each person stops, because you will have a little less time. Okay, and you don't have to be, you know, abstract or theoretical, just speak from your own experience. And then whatever is said just stays here, we don't bring it up afterwards with the others. Okay, so someone please jump in and start. Yeah, so each person just takes the floor.
Oh, the bell is designated.
Yes, if somebody starts. Yeah, and then when I ding, then I win, switch to the next one. Okay, so, yeah.
Go ahead.
And even by the time I sort of like, gotten feeling steady.
But I wish I had something.